So, thinking about gray areas, our legal system can be a pretty confusing mashup of contradictions and balancing acts. And in order to sort through all this and find some clarity, we depend on judges. Judges make judgment calls, and sometimes those calls are not so popular. Well, one of these cases happened in Seattle in 2013. Seattle Times reporter Christine Claridge covered the case. It was a guy who could have been held on bail, but was instead released and then was accused of going out and committing a rape. It seemed like the judge had blown it. And that's probably what you'd conclude from Claridge's article, but the truth was not so simple.
I got a tip from someone in the criminal justice system that a defendant who had been set free by Judge Kessler had gone on to sexually assault and kidnap a woman within the same week of being released. His name is Ricky Lee Lewis. He had been convicted of statutory rape in 1985 and forcible rape in 1993. He served 10 years. And then he was wanted on a warrant for failure to register as a sex offender, which is not a violent crime. It's not a sex crime. It's sort of a administrative crime. I started reporting it. I called Judge Ron Kessler.
My name is Ronald Kessler. I am a retired King County Superior Court judge.
He was the person who made the decision about whether to let this defendant, Lewis, go. And he called me back.
And I said to her, well, I was sorry I was wrong in terms of predicting his behavior in the future, which is what I sort of had done. But at the time, I did what I thought was the right thing to do. I followed the law, and that was essentially the conversation.
I wrote down what he said. I put it in the story. I thought I was even-handed and fair in my reporting and writing. Then I went to bed, and the next day everything kind of blew up.
The next morning, Saturday morning, I picked up my Seattle Times, and there was this picture of me and Ricky Lee Lewis on the front page, our two mugshots, and above the fold was the story that the judge admitted he was wrong in releasing this guy. That was me. It was essentially, you read the story, and it was blaming me in part for the new crime he was alleged to have committed.
The story was very well read and commented on and shared, and people were furious at the judge. There were a lot of comments that called him something like a weasel or urged people to not vote him in, to remember his name at election time and kick that louse out. I didn't look at the story in print until after I got an angry phone call. It was Judge Kessler, and he left a message using all kinds of bad language. He really did kind of curse me out and indicated that he was extremely unhappy with the story.
I wasn't happy, but I did not curse.
I called him back. One of the things he said was that, "My God, you've got my picture right next to the perp, right under the headline. It looks like we're both suspects." He wasn't happy. My stomach just sank. It really did.
I felt bad that someone was apparently raped. I had been the one who released him, but a judge can lock everybody up and keep them in jail forever or for as long as possible. That's the easy way out, but then that's not what we get elected to do. We get elected to exercise discretion and make decisions. Under the law from the Supreme Court of Washington, there's a presumption of release for people who are charged with a nonviolent offense. And when people are released, some of them are going to commit crimes. We recognize that.
So we talked for a while, and really, there wasn't, I mean, the paper's already printed, and it wasn't incorrect. It was truly what he said, and I couldn't do anything with the facts of that story because they were true.
So she asked me, "What can I do?" And I thought for a moment. And I invited her to sit on the bench with me at an arraignment calendar and see what I do.
When I went into it, I had no idea what the story would be like. Arraignment court is set off and it's glassed in because sometimes there's so many emotional things happening. It's filled with attorneys. It's filled with court personnel and the guards with their guns and the clerk and the bailiff. And then they said, all rise. And he walks out in his black robes.
And she followed right behind me. I had two chairs on the bench.
All the attorneys looked like, who is that lady? He didn't explain anything. He just let them wonder. And the defendants come in one by one. And the judge hears their case.
A certain defendant.
George Peffers, I think, was his name.
He walked in the door, just like Ricky Lee Lewis did. He was charged with failure to register as a sex offender. I have information regarding the alleged offense. I have access to prior offenses and what that was all about.
His fingers are flying as he's, like, looking up the past court cases, what the decisions have been made.
I have access to their failure to appear rate. I mean, how often did somebody fail to appear in court when they were ordered to do so? This is all information that I take into consideration in making the decision on every single case.
So the prosecutors asked for $30,000 bail, which is their usual amount. And the judge, one of the things they said is, oh, he has no address, he has no this, he doesn't have that. And the judge said, well, you obviously know where he is because you sent a warrant and he showed up.
And I released him and she whispered to me and said, well, I guess you had to let him go. And I said, yeah, that's right, I did. A week or two later, there was another story in the Seattle Times, a longer story, above the fold again, with friendlier pictures of me in the courtroom. And it was a really good story. It was fair. It showed what I did every day. It showed what judges do every day.
Well, you know, I've always been grateful. Thank you for letting me do that.
How did your folks at the Times react to that article?
They loved it. I think it won a prize.
Did it win a prize?
Yeah.
Oh. I didn't get a part of that prize.
Nothing happened. They just said my
oh,
name.
Oh, you won a prize. Was, yes, okay.
Judge Kessler is very unique in that, very unusual for a judge to ever let you get that close to them. They're wary of the press for good reason. I think after the first story ran, people were basically like, that's why you don't talk to the press.
That's correct.
Never speak to the press.
That's what my colleague said.
This is
what
you
get.
Because
I've been telling them, you should be talking to the press more so that the public knows what it is we do accurately.
What did they say after the second one?
I got a standing ovation at a judge's meeting.
When I write stories now, I'm more aware of the kind of effect they might have. I try to look at the headline now. I try to look at the placement. And I will often try to include a paragraph that describes what the state law is regarding bond. And the law is that people are presumed innocent and that they are supposed to be let go unless prosecutors can show legitimate evidence that they shouldn't be.
I mean, it's a conflict in the Constitution because, I mean, these folks are presumed innocent, but also the Constitution provides, in some circumstances, that there can be pretrial detention, which, of course, is inconsistent with the presumption of innocence. But that's what we've got.
Yeah, that's why you have judges.
That was retired King County Superior Court Judge Ron Kessler and Seattle Times reporter Christine Claridge. Sound Effects' Jennifer Wing produced that story. But before we move on, Judge Kessler gives us one last twist, how the guy accused of rape ultimately landed in another gray area.
Okay, what ultimately happened to Ricky Lee Lewis is that the defense investigated the case, came up with mitigating evidence that had raised doubt as to the victim's claim. She had lied about how she met him. It wasn't a stranger rape. It doesn't mitigate the rape at all, but it makes it a lot more difficult for the prosecutor to prove when a witness, their victim, will have to admit on the stand before the jury that she had lied about part of what occurred. The prosecutor reduced the charge substantially to, I believe it was burglary with sexual motivation. He pleaded guilty, and far from life without parole, he was sentenced to 7 years in prison.